Let's talk about expressing a cat's anal glands.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Morning Show for March 28th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns. With me, the cat just jumped off her lap, is Ashley Burns. Say hi to Ashley.
I hope nothing happened when I jumped.
I was prepared for that drop, and I still laughed when I heard it. Couldn't help myself. Hey, everybody, it's Morning Somewhere. How you doing?
That's because we're having a problem with our cat. Specifically, yeah. We're having a problem with his ass.
I don't know. Are we violating Mush's privacy if we talk about Mush's butt?
I didn't sign any HIPAA agreements with Mush. He's been having some issues. This happened once before.
He's having issues. I've got issues now, but go ahead.
But it happened again yesterday, where, like, I don't know. I just
trigger
I,
warning I, everything. Yeah, I hope we're about to talk about.
I
here.
Hope you have not eaten breakfast. I picked him up and he skunked me.
He's got an issue with his butt. He's got an anal gland.
I've been reading up about this because he basically like I picked him up and then just like. My
all right,
sweater.
You don't need to go into too much detail.
Just my sweater was really stinky.
Gross.
And this has happened once before. So I think I know what happened. Because once before, like I picked him up and just touched him too close to his butt. And again, I got skunked. So here's what I'm taking away
from
this.
Is Mush getting better treatment than me?
All you got to do is ask, baby.
I guess I don't pearl out enough, Mush.
You want me to express your anal
He's
glands?
Mad at us. He's over in the corner staring now. Well, I'm sorry, Mush. We feel your plight, buddy.
Yeah, so we've got to figure out
all I gotta say is
what's going on with him.
That was a clip because I was looking up on YouTube. I was looking up how to express the cat's anal glands, and now YouTube is suggesting how to express various different animals. Anal glands. Should I want to move on in my journey, I guess. So, yeah. So, finally, my YouTube algorithm is exactly where I want it. Got it.
You know what advice I found? Take it to the vet.
Take it to the vet.
Make the vet do it. I didn't know that cats were basically part skunk.
He doesn't. I think that's it's like a buildup thing. So, we're taking him to the vet and going to get him all fixed up before he starts doing the scoot.
You know, God.
The little scoot? Yeah. He'll start that next.
We'll never get the smell out. Okay.
How old is Sweet Mush? He's about six, five or six?
He's a year older than Finn, so he's five.
Five and a half. Yeah. I remember we had him on the podcast. He was just a wee little thing.
I remember his little spaceship backpacks.
I have the video of you meeting Mush, our beloved friend and familiar. I have a video of you meeting him for the very first time.
He was a cute little bug.
His name, by the way, in the pound where we adopted him. Austin Pets Alive.
Mm-hmm.
We adopted him. His name was Julius because he was orange.
And like an orange Julius.
We changed that immediately to Mush.
Mush.
Mush. Anyway, quick update on some global news, specifically from the U.S. about the bridge collapse. I want to hit you with some facts here. There's been a lot of updates, but the U.S. Coast Guard has issued a statement. This is from USA Today. The Dali, that's the ship that hit the bridge, was lugging about 4,700 containers and has the capacity to carry up to 10,000, according to the Synergy Management Group, the company that operates it. Two of those containers went overboard in the disaster, U.S. Coast Guard Vice Admiral Peter Gauthier said. 56 of the containers have hazardous materials, but they do not include the two that went into the water, he said. Some of the 13 containers on the bow were damaged. The vessel is stable, but it still has over 1.5 million gallons of fuel oil and lube oil on board. So, potentially an environmental disaster, but the vessel's stable. So, which is crazy. We were talking about the scale of this thing yesterday. It hit a bridge, and it only lost two containers overboard, and it doesn't appear to be in any danger of sinking itself. That's wild.
Crazy to me. After yesterday, I went and I was watching some of those videos on YouTube of these container ships in rough seas. And it's astonishing to me that they don't lose more containers. They look like they're just stacked. Is there anything holding them together?
It's just gravity, man, just holding everything in place. It's a massive amount of gravity. And, you know, they have now moved from a recovery operation to a salvage operation. They have pulled two bodies out of the water, and they're still in search of four of the missing workers that are there. So that is an ongoing process. They have now started to move into a more of an economic discussion. I saw a map of the port of Baltimore today that showed like all the different major shipping centers that are that feed out of that port or into America from there. And one of the biggest ones that I noticed was Domino Sugar is the biggest importer that is inside that area that has now been shut off by the bridge.
All right. So sugar shortage incoming.
Sugar shortage incoming could affect your commodity prices for sugar.
Not only that, but guess what else there's going to be shortage of?
Oh, look at that. I fed that to you, Ashley. I just fed you that. From sugar to?
Cocoa. So I just want to give everyone a little bit of a heads up here because I don't know how much it's being discussed, but start.
What are you encouraging here?
I'm going to say go out and hoard the cocoa.
No, don't.
So here's what's happening. Cocoa prices are soaring. So for raw cocoa, the price is more than double. So January this year, it was trading at $4,200 for a metric ton. And now
I never pay more than $3,500 my metric tons, ever. Never.
And now it's over $10,000, just wow. to give you some indication. But even worse, potentially, is that it's last March, it was under $3,000.
I wonder how long it takes for cocoa to make its way through the process and become chocolate. Like, what's the lead time on that, right?
Well, my experience is video games, so it's pretty immediate.
Yeah. I know how long it takes.
Put it in the cooking pot, and then bam, chocolate comes out.
That's your experience. I'm not talking how long does it take to cook it up. How long does it take to process it, move it over from, I'm assuming, Africa? I'm basing that on...
Yes, it mostly comes out of West Africa.
There was a crazy documentary that I saw where it was cocoa farmers who work to harvest cocoa beans. None of them had ever tried chocolate before. They didn't even know what the thing they were harvesting was used to make. And it was somebody who brought back chocolate to a village and had everybody try it for the first time. It was tear-jerking, you know, to watch them. And they were very proud of what they had made. And I thought that was a really cool thing. I'll try to find that documentary and link it if I can. It might be just a news story, you know. I don't think that would be a whole documentary.
Still cool to see. I always wonder that, right? Like, how long it took people to take, like, in this case, the cocoa bean, and figure out... like all the steps required to make it something tasty.
Have you ever seen it, like cocoa bean, what it looks like?
Yeah, it's just like a big round, weird, not at all chocolate looking bean.
It almost looks like a grub on the inside, like a white grub. Am I thinking about the right thing here?
I think so.
Yeah, when they get it open. But I'm with you. It's like it must have been thousands of years of experimenting to figure it out. The one I always get stuck on is coffee. They must have tried to eat coffee 1,000 different ways. Like I'm sure at some point early in the process, somebody stewed up a bowl of coffee beans like any other kind of beans and just ate them. I mean, I eat espresso beans, you know, chocolate covered ones.
That have already been roasted and had all these steps taken right to it. So it's not like you just like pick up a coffee bean off the side of the mountain and popped it in your mouth and went, yes,
oh boy,
this has potential.
We're going to get into some discussions here that hopefully there's a botanist somewhere in our subreddit who can explain this. But because there's a lot of beans that I wouldn't eat raw. But one of our favorite things here is when we go into our garden, we're coming up on it in the spring, is we get the
sugar peas.
And Finn loves to go into his garden. He has his sugar pea plant and he has to wait. Like he has strawberries and he has sugar peas and he has to wait and be patient. And he can't eat the strawberry or the sugar peas too soon. He has to wait for them to be ripe. And it's a great life lesson, I think, that he has to sit there and wait days, which for a toddler is insane amount of time.
Yeah, we have to be like, maybe this one will be ready tomorrow. We'll come back and check it then.
While I'm talking about Smarty Pants in the subreddit, somebody posted when we were talking about Mush before, we said he was nocturnal. And they pointed out, I can't find who did it because they didn't do it in the episode comment thread. They must have made their own comment thread.
But, yeah, people do that sometimes.
Yeah, and they said that cats are not nocturnal. Cats, Ashley, are crepuscular.
Well, that sounds like a health condition.
Many people think that they are nocturnal, but they are not. They are active at sunrise and sunset.
That's, and 4 a.m. when they decide to have zoomies.
They're basically like teenagers, right? Same thing.
And then sleeping 18 hours if possible.
Let's talk about expressing a cat's anal glands.
Let's not talk about that. Can I talk about something in Scotland while we're on the subject of cats?
Please do.
We have lots of amazing fauna around us, in addition to the flora of sugar peas and strawberries, which British strawberries, by the way.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, amazing. I didn't know how amazing strawberries could be until I had one of these. It apparently has to do with the variety and whether they're fast growing or slow growing. And we tend to favor slow growing strawberries, which are more flavorful, as opposed to quick growing, which you can get into the store a lot faster, but they just don't have this rich flavor. Y'all come to Scotland, have a strawberry.
You know where I want to go to have a strawberry is Japan. I saw another, like one of these like docuseries or something. It was like one of these like Anthony Bourdain types that goes around doing stuff. I'm sorry if I don't remember the guy's name, but he did a thing where he went to Japan and there's this farmer who's dedicated his life to making perfect strawberries. And he has something like 100-pound strawberry. I mean, like $125 strawberry, enormously expensive.
That had better be everything it says it is.
And the guy shelled out for it and tried it. And he was like, how can you possibly have one strawberry this expensive? And he tried it and he was like, oh no. Like the expression was just like, why did I eat this?
Yeah, that's like the danger isn't, I mean, $125 is very, very expensive for a single strawberry. But what's worse is going back to regular strawberries after that.
You paid $125
to spoil yourself on strawberries for the rest of your life.
Strawberries are over for you. But around us, we have lots of pheasants, which are gorgeous birds. Although
so dumb, but beautiful.
Very dumb. We have the lambs, which I have a bone to pick with you. Pin in that. Come back to this.
Okay.
The lambs that we love. But then like actual like native protected species. Like we have badgers, which are amazing. We have these little red squirrels. They have the little red tufts.
Oh, God, they're so cute. Their ears are like extra big and they have these little tufts coming out. And they're just so, they're smaller than your gray like rock squirrels. And they're so cute.
And we have here a lot of bats where we are. We have a lot of bats where we are. But I'm very grateful for our bats. First of all, they're protected. Secondly, there is an animal. Insects are animals, right? They're in the animal kingdom. An animal that lives in Scotland called the midge. And midges are like the scourge of northern Scotland, and we just don't really have them here. And it's hard to explain to people who live in places like Texas with giant mosquitoes. Imagine like nano mosquitoes that fly in the death swarm. I have experienced midges before. It is a wild, wild thing. But what I was getting at with this whole discussion was there's an animal here called the Scottish wildcat. And I didn't know this existed because where we live in the UK, in northern Scotland, there have been people here for thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of years living here. And they have pretty much, as people tend to do, they affect the ecology. They've pretty much eliminated everything that's dangerous. Like there's not even poison ivy here. There's no poisonous spiders. There's no poisonous insects. There's no
bears, no wolves,
there you go.
No like, you know, mountain lions or, you know, like big cats like that.
Like the worst thing is a nettle plant, which is kind of a thorny plant that gives you a little bit of a sting. That's about it.
But makes a great tea.
But makes a great tea. Apparently, I'm not drinking that shit.
I am. Do you know why? Revenge.
But one of the things they have here is Scottish wildcat. So when our neighbor first saw Mush, she said, she's very ecologically minded. She said, oh, hey, you just want to make sure that he is neutered because we have Scottish wildcats here. And I said, why neutered? Because they'll fight? She goes, no, they can. You wouldn't believe this. They can actually interbreed. And I was like, oh, what's this wildcat look like? We have a lot of forest around us. Is it like and I described a mountain lion or a cougar or a puma. She's like, no, no, no. And I got down to like a Texas bobcat. She's like, no, it's not like that. I went and looked it up. It's a cat. Like a Scottish wildcat is a cat. I mean, there's lots of big cats in the world. I've never seen a wild cat that looks so much like somebody's cat.
It's like a tabby. And I'm not in the way either of like Maine Coons, right? They're very large for cats and they have the faces like lions and everything. This is a gray tabby.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen them. We've seen them before. We just didn't know that's what they were. And, if you go and look up photos of these things online, it's funny. It looks like somebody's house cat, like, hired an engagement photographer to take. like somebody's cat got out and then somehow got an Instagram boyfriend. And they try to make them look as wild as possible. Like, they're growling and everything.
Or, like, walking through the snow.
Yeah, it's always the snow. But it's just really funny. It's you know, it's not quite like running into like a giant, you know, mountain lion somewhere in Colorado. Do they have mountain lions in Utah as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
You know, the guidance when you run into like some bears is like you play dead. With cats is you make yourself big, you know, mountain lion. You make yourself big and make a lot of noise. And then if it comes at you, the last thing it says in the guidance is fight if you have to. But, you know, you have to fight. Sorry. You're going to have to fight this thing. The guidance on the Scottish wildcat is just go, first of all, carry a piece of string with the tissue tied to it. And then if it attacks you, just go, and it'll run away. I mean, we're making fun. We love where we live. It's just really funny when I saw this, the description of a wild cat, this was not what I was expecting.
Well, it's a collision of expectation and reality, isn't it?
Yeah. And the one thing I love about living here as well is we have so much green energy here, and they really do protect everything. The fines for messing with anything here, you know, they're crazy high. And badgers in particular are very protected here.
Yes. And one of the things that we say about where we live is it's the bat's house. We just live here.
Yes. Yes. We live in the bat's house, but it's their house. And what we do here is determined by whether or not the bats are here at that point in time.
Does that make you Batman?
Oh, Mike, you should go up there and hang out with them. Although I think if I went out and hung out with them, then I'd get in trouble some kind. All right. What else is going on in the news? I got a couple other things to talk about. I feel like I'm chatting a lot. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, I'm just focused on Coco.
Okay, I gotcha. The Powerball jackpot, this is from Iowa, but it might cover multiple states. It's now at an estimated $935 million after no one matched the six numbers drawn on Wednesday night.
That's pennies, Bernie, pennies. Did you see there was another lottery, the Mega Millions, that someone just won $1.1 billion.
One individual person? I see here, yeah. After a player in New Jersey won $1.13 billion.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy. I love when you get up to 1.13. The 0.13 is $130 million.
You want to just round that off, but that's a big round.
See, and also it's like, here's an overnight billionaire, and people can talk about taxes or whatever with it, whatever, but it's like, you never hear about these people ever again. It's crazy. We're making billionaires now in the lottery. That's fucking wild.
It is. I don't follow lotteries very closely, but it does seem like I remember when, you know, a million was good, and then it got up to 100 million, and I thought that is wild.
Oh, here's a baseline question. This is something. When I say somebody won the lottery, how much money is that to you?
$1 million.
That's a million to you.
It's a million to me.
See, when I hear somebody won the lottery, that's $20 million. I don't know why. That's the number I have in my head.
I think that's just because, like, the first time, you know, that would have come into my consciousness and been sort of, like, set is when I was younger. And a million was, like a crazy amount for the
lottery.
Can we
make that a Spotify poll for today? Like, if somebody says they won the lottery, how much money does that mean?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that here in the UK as well. While we're talking about wild money and things like that, I saw an article about the preliminary odds for the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
Oh God, how's that going?
Now these are preliminary odds, so these aren't the official odds. And what I saw was that Mike Tyson is +300. And Jake Paul is -360.
So does that mean that that 300 people think that Mike Tyson will win and 360 think that the Paul kid will lose?
No, this is all just money and how it's paid out. And so I asked my buddy Scott, because he knows about this stuff, and he wrote, holy shit, that means Tyson is the underdog and Jake is the favorite.
What?
If you put $100 on Tyson and he wins, you'll get $300. On the other hand, in order to win $100 off of Jake Paul, you would have to lay/risk $360 to do that. So those are the preliminary odds, but it shows that right now Tyson is the heavy, heavy underdog.
And I don't know, are the rules for this fight also kind of weird? Because that's everything that I've been hearing is about very weird rules, but I can't actually find any official rules posted anywhere. But people are talking about like no knockouts, like Jake Paul can like be on whatever drugs he wants to be on or something.
Really?
And yeah, like that. I think Mike Tyson has to like be tested. He can't be on anything, but Jake Paul can be on whatever.
Like Prime, like the Rainbow Prime. Yeah, he can be on that if he wants to.
Oh, mush, stop that. And I think...
Also, I want to point out, they can put all the rules they want to in this contract. It's Mike Tyson going into the ring. All it's going to take, and if you're lucky enough and privileged enough to be in that arena ringside when they're fighting, I want you to do me a favor. I just want you to go, boo, Mike. I knew you couldn't take him, Mike.
Oh, my God.
All it's going to take is the booze. And I think Mike Tyson's going to forget all about that contract and all the riders, and he's just going to start slugging away. That's what I personally think.
But he actually had a fight fairly recently where he did lose, didn't he?
What, like on an airplane? I think he was like wailing a dude who was messing with him on the plane. And it was really funny how like former heavyweight champ belts the shit out of a guy in an airplane. And then people saw the video and they go, oh yeah, glad he hit him. You know, glad he hit him. All right. Well, that does it for us today. Hey, Ash, can I make a suggestion for the big future Powerball pools? I think that when we get these lotteries up to some limit, like say let's call it a billion. When you hit a billion, we just take all the money. It's nobody's money at that point. Nobody's losing anything. We take all the money and we pay off something. Like we pay off some school's debt. You know, we fix the schools in Baltimore, whatever we got to do. It's just a huge community project. And then we hit it, we get $1 billion, and the whole thing resets back down to 5 million. That's what I think.
I think we should do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's get our stamp of approval. All right. Well, that does it for us today, March 28th, 2024. We hope you all will be back to talk to us tomorrow. We'll be here as well. That's the ending of the show, everybody.